You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, people? It's your boy, Cam J, back with another episode of Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. Now, as we gear up for another exciting season, I wanted to reflect on some of the incredible guests I had the pleasure of sitting down with last season. But hey, don't worry, though. I got you. New episodes coming your way real soon. Relax. I got you. But in the meantime, in between time, let's rewind and play back some of my favorite interviews from season one. To kick things off, I'm bringing you your quarterback's worst nightmare. That's right. I'm bringing you my guy, Raiders defensive end, Max Crosby. That's right. Mad Max in the building. Hey, welcome Off the Edge with Cam Jordan. And I'm sitting here as an Off the Edge with Cam Jordan because I'm a defensive end off the edge. You know what I'm saying? If we're going to talk about more than just me, we're going to bring in my guy, Max Crosby. We talking about dog, underrated still somehow. Bro, Pressure King, I met him. This was rookie year Max Crosby after the season at an NFL honors show. Sitting next to him, really got to talk to my guy, and he became my dog. We sort of have similar agents. We have agents on the same team. It's like we're on the same side. We wrote the amount of defensive end talks we have, just the respect I have for a guy like you, Max. It speaks volumes. I mean, you're at 40 sacks change, been in the league for a few years. But that being said, bro, you've been here. Like they say, the NFL is not for a long time, but a good time, bro. You have made the most out of these 5 years, bro. Have been going crazy, not only from stat wise, but all pro, Pro Bowl player, leader on the Raiders. They call you Mad Max, not just your rapper name. You're off the edge defensive line persona, bro. I appreciate you for tapping in with me, bro.
No, I appreciate you, bro. And you know, the love goes both ways. You've been an OG for me since day one. So like you said, we got a ton of connections, all the same people in the same circle. We know all the same people from Vaughn, you know, working at his camps and on and on and on and on. So I appreciate you, bro. And in your career, and you know, I don't say this about many people, but like, there's a lot of guys, you know, from like you and Vaughn, y'all set the, you know, the platform and the blueprint for how to do it. And you give me a ton of inspiration. So just being here is an honor, bro. So I appreciate you.
Perfect, bro. I appreciate it. Bro, I just want to like, I'm just going to open it up because I talk about it a lot. This idea that there's defensive ends and there's edge rushers. And you just brought up me and Vaughn, same draft class, 2011. Vaughn, yeah. Edge rusher. Me, defensive end. You know what I'm saying? Like, where do you sit in this convo? Because they plug all of us together now.
Yeah.
Outside linebacker, quote unquote, your jacks, your wills are sometimes now edge rushers. And I'm like, oh, he can't do what I do.
Yeah. No, I feel that, you know, honestly, like you said, like they try to just like put everybody into that edge category. But I think you're right. You know, at the end of the day, the edge position is, it comes in so many different ways, you know, shapes and sizes. So that's what I think is the most special position, because you could have a guy who's 5'10", 260, and can rush the hell out of the passer and set an edge. But then you could have a 6'6 dude that's, you know, tall and lanky that can still get the job done, but in a different way. So, you know, for me, I don't like to put anybody in a box. You know, for me, like I said, like I want to be the best all-around defensive end, from pass rushers, run, stopping the run. I play, you know, I'm like you. I play every freaking snap. Like, that's how I carry myself. So, like, I don't want to be just known as a pass rusher or just a run stopping guy. Like, I want to be the best overall. So that's, you know, that's how I look at it.
Got to be the best overall, bro. Like, but yeah. I'm here to, like, don't get it twisted. I'm here to play this run first.
Yeah,
I'm sitting edge.
Yeah, 100%, bro.
Wait, what do you prefer? A 4-eye, which is, you know, that inside shade of a tackle, or do you prefer that 5, which is outside shade of tackle, or even a 9?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll leave the 4-eye to you. But for me, you know, I like playing in a 5, a 6, a 7, 9 technique. You know, that's me. I like being on the edge at all times. No question. You know, you're weighing like 280. I'm like 260, 262. Man. You know what I mean? I don't need to be in that 4-eye, but I'll do it. You know, I've done it before. Right. I prefer to be on the edge.
At a high level. For sure, we all have our preferences. Me, I mean, I really want to be a 6-eye. Like, if I could line up inside of a tight end, I'm really putting hands on a tight end. Like, that's when I'm like, I'm trying to choke somebody out, like, and I get that rage in me. I'm like, yeah, him? I got to get him.
Yeah.
But, bro, I played a 4-eye, too. Like, it is what it is. Listen, this is a different mindset, bro. When you think about first, second down, then I think about third down, like, that's where, like, that's how I attack the lines, right? I'm not thinking like, hey, pass play, unless like an offensive line is giving hints, or, you know, like a formation, like 4 outs is typically a pass play. Like, I'm thinking like, all right, back off set, he coming my way. And I got that smile on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, they coming my way. Let's do this. Stutter punch, whatever it is. Let's ride. When you think about what it takes to be a defensive end, have you ever thought about like the characteristics, what it takes? Not just it's like, oh, you got to be long, you got to be tall. Because you've seen Jerry Hughes do it. You've seen Nick Perry do it. You've seen Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever it is. What do you think is the characteristics of a good defensive end?
You know, I think, you know, the characteristics you got to have, like you talked about, is having that dog mentality. I think that's what separates, you know, the good players from the great players. And like you said, you can go to an NFL combine. Guys can run a 4-4, look like the biggest Leonidas on the planet. But once you put pads on, you're like, what the fuck is this? You know, sorry, I don't know if I can cuss
or not. Like, yeah, you can, bro. Like,
you see it all the time.
Like Tarzan, but he played like Jane. Like, that's a real sentence. Because you'd be like, bro, he looked like he major. And get in there and be mid. He'd be like, that don't make no sense.
It doesn't make sense. But that's what, you know, when you talk about mentality, they got to have that dog in them. Like, that's something you can't determined by looking at somebody at a combine. Like, that really comes from watching the film on somebody. I feel like that's the most important thing. You got to watch film and see who's willing to put their nose in it, you know, and freaking go ahead, you know, bull rush, have all the mixture of combinations, but be relentless at the same time, chasing the ball, flying to the ball. I think the things that require no talent are the most important thing to play the edge position. The other shit on top of it, obviously we're all NFL players, so you got to have the ability to rush and bend and do all those things. But I think the most important thing is just having that relentless, you know, I'm not going to stop. Nobody's going to outplay, you know, outwork me during the game. I think that's what, you know, separates, you know, the great players from the good ones.
Man, facts. Do you think sometimes, like, the way I talk crap on, like, y'all, you know, I talk crap. The way you talk crap on the field, the passion, the love that we have for the game, like, it feels like when we win, they're like, that's how you're supposed to play the game. But when we lose, like, that's when you feel like media sort of like be attacking you, be like, oh, you have to be that. Like, what do you mean? Like, this is who I am as a monster, bro. Like, do you feel like sometimes your passion as a competitor gets misconstrued by other people?
Yeah, and definitely.
You let that affect you?
No, I don't let it affect me. I'm always going to be me. You know, I definitely take some, you know, I feel like more recently in the past, like, year, I've taken a lot of heat just from, like, you know, they released the quarterback thing where they see me, like, going after Mahomes and talking shit, messing with him. And, like, everyone's like, oh my God, he's an asshole. He's a jerk. And then they see me, like, they release a mic'd up. And I was like, I took our tight end like 20 yards off the ball and just body slammed him just to set the tone. And like, they're like, this dude's an asshole. But like, I love that because that's who I am. Like, they're just getting to see it now. But like, that's who I am as a player. My mentality is like, I don't care who's in front of me. I'm going to try to get in their head and I'm going to try to make them feel less than what they are. You know, they might be a good player. I want to make them feel average. So that's what I try to do on a play-to-play basis. So if they don't like it, that's not my problem.
You know? Right. Somebody brought that up. They're like, is Max like that? I was like, Max, that dude. I was like, yeah, he's supposed to be like that. Like, what do you want me to do? You want me to be like the Andrew Luck of a defensive end? Like, he's just like, hey, I'll see you next time.
I can't do that, bro. I'm going to be 100% me. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But the people that love me, they love me for that. So it's like, the ones that love me, you know, that's all that matters to me.
I don't get it. You think we're all friends? Like, I'm not supposed to like the offensive lineman I'm going against. I think he's fat, slow, and I think he can't mess with me. That's the reason why I'm on the edge, and he's in his position that he's in. He's 100%. He's a kid that grew up eating hella candy and snacks at middle of the night, play Fortnite, Call of Duty.
drinking a Coke, sitting there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Popcorn. And he says things like, I'm athletic. Are you? Because you're the only one telling yourself that you're athletic, you know? Like, you're not supposed to be friends, bro. Like, I don't get it. Like, you know, when we talked to Vaughn this past year, and Vaughn was like, man, you know, I like to get to know the offensive lineman. I'll be going against a guy, and I'll be like, hey, man, how's your day? Oh, man, yeah. Man, I saw you had kids. How's your kids, man? I ain't never asked none of that.
See, for me, no, that's funny you say that, because, like, there's, majority of the time, like, I'm going to be on that with whoever it is, like, just to get myself going. Like, but yeah. There's some guy, like, I feel like it's different, you know, when it comes to the O-lineman. Like, there's some O-lineman who, like, even a Garrett Bowles, for instance. Like, my first couple years in the league, like, me and him would match up twice a year. And, like, we were damn near fighting every play. And we're talking shit and going at it. And then, like, by the end of my second year, we played each other for, like, the fourth time. And he started walking across the field. And, like, we were getting personal. Like, the shit was going there. I'm like, all right, I'm ready to fight. I already know what it's about to be. And he walked up to me, and I'm like, this is after the game.
It is what it is.
We're fighting right now. And he's like, bro, I fucking love you, bro. I'm going to just say that. Like, I respect the fuck out of you. He was like, at the end of the day, he's like, you bring it more than anybody. Like, he just had a lot of good shit to say, bro. But, like, that's, for me, that was a cool-ass moment. So, like, every time I see him now, like, he always sees me. He's like, I fucking love you, bro. And then it's on. You know what I mean? It's like, there's no talk.
How did Duke suck? What's
kind of fighting. So, like, yeah. So, every situation is different. And, you know, it is what it is. But for me, like, I'm always trying to find that edge, whether it's, you know, talking or whatever I got to do to get that.
Man, I mean, but that competitiveness, that's what makes you, like, great. Like, I don't, like I said, I don't want to like you. I don't want to. No. I can like you outside the lines. In between these lines, you are an obstacle. You're a speed bump. Your job is literally to stop me from getting to where I'm trying to go.
Yeah.
Like, 100%. If I'm trying to get out the gated community, guess what I got to get out of there? Like, the speed bump. And guess what that offensive lineman is? A speed bump. So, hey, man, break that thing down, man. I'm trying to get in there, bro. But that's what it sort of takes for me to get to the process for you. You, bro, you worked all the way through. So the leadership that you have now, the locker room's in a good place between you guys like Devontae Adams. Tell me that leadership process, especially for a guy like, you know, Devontae, who had to come in and be cultivated to the Raider style of play, or bring his culture on to you, that leadership between you and him. Because I see it on the field. I see he chirps, you chirp, your defense, your offense responds. When you guys like talking, like that leadership qualities that you guys have, tell me a little bit about that in the locker room.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you nailed it right on the head. You know, Devontae, he's like, I think this is 10th year. You know, he's close to you. He's been in the league for a long time now. And the dude is elite at what he does. And at the same time, he brings that energy, no matter if it's practice or game day. And he's always doing extra. So when you have a guy that's a first, you know, 3 years in a row, first team all pro, and he's also one of your hardest workers, like, there's nothing you could say. So, like, guys are going to naturally follow. And that's why I work the way I work. You know what I mean? I'm staying on guys' ass, especially the young guys. Like, I make people uncomfortable sometimes, and I try to push them out of their comfort zone. But, like, for me, you know, it's taken years to earn that right. And, like, for now, you know, now that's what leadership's all about, is I want to bring the guys with me. I want them, you know, they might not get up to my level right out the gate, but it's going to take time. And if they can go from here to here, then I've done my job. And if I can bring all the guys with me, that's what I can do.
That's the plan.
That's how I push it, bro. Like, yeah, I just want to make, you know, so everybody's different, you know, and I learned this from Coach Marinelli too. He told me, he's like, you know, what makes a coach great is, you know, being able to adapt to all your different players, because certain, you know, every guy's different. Certain players tick a certain way. Some guys, you know, need to get mother sometimes, and that's how they get going. And some guys, you got to be nice to them. And then that's, so it's like, I try to learn and really know who my guys are as people. And we do D-line dinners every week. Like, they'll come to the house, I'll have chefs come, and we'll, you know, just kick it and like do stuff like that. So I can really learn who the person is, because you can't go and mother somebody and you don't even know what their child's name is.
What school he went to. Well, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's a problem. You'd be like, fuck you. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. But if I have a real relationship with him, then, you know, you can
Then there's a reason, like, he's receptive, because it's like, bro, he cares about me as a person, so he wants me to be the best version of me.
100%, bro. And that's how I lead. And our locker room's great, bro. I love the guys, and we have a lot of good people and a lot of hard workers. So, yeah, we just got to, you know, keep rolling and get this thing on board.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets. Yeah,
it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When it comes down to it, clearly you've earned the love, respect, and accolades that you've gotten and earned it each and every step of the way, bro. The way you play has been phenomenal. The way you get out the stacks. And like, I'm like, yo, like, you have to get out the stacks. I'm like, bro, you think you could be an all pro without getting out the stacks? I'm like, bro, you watch Max. He's Mad Max on Sundays. He's going crazy. You're chasing things down. You're running things down. And now we got your former quarterback, Derek Carr. He talks so highly of you. He's like, bro, you might be the only person that runs just as much as Max does after practices or whatever it is. He's like, bro, I always see you running. He's always running. I'm like, absolutely. I was like, dude's a dog for a reason. He earns it. But that being said, bro, it's also put you in a spot to – what were you this year on ESPN, 17?
Yeah, 17, yeah.
Does that motivate you at all? Does that affect you at all? Like, for me, I'm like, bro, it's just another year. Like, there's years when I was like, oh, I know I'm top 20 and been number 99. And there's years that I've, all right, like I'm probably top, I might be bottom 50 this year and been as high as like 30 something. It just depends. But does it affect you or motivate you?
Honestly, it motivates me. Like for me, I don't like having anybody have anything like over me. If I, you know what I mean? If I'm first in pressures and first in TFLs and first, like there's always going to be something that I'm trying to find that somebody has over me. And like that shit will bother me until I get back out there and try to get closer to that. So like, I use things like that as motivation, you know, more than anything. And like, that's just like how my mind works. I'm ultra competitive no matter what I'm doing. And like, yeah, I want to be the number one player. Like I was ranked 17th, you know, by my peers as a player in the NFL. Like just thinking about that, you know, 5 years ago, if you would have told me I'm in the top 20, like in the league and that's in the world, like that's crazy. But at the end of the day, like now where I'm at, like, there's always more. And like, I got that from Coach Marinelli. Like he texts me damn near every single day to this day. And he's retired, 75 years old. I don't know what the hell he's doing in his lab, but he always texts me, it's more and improve. Like those are the two words he always is preaching to me. He's like, there's always more to do and there's always room for improvement. And like, you have to find what that is every single day. So like, for me, that's how my brain works. Like I could have a good game, I could have a bad game, but like, I'm always going to find the things I got to get better at and apply that into my practice and preparation the next week. So that's what I feel like the consistency part is like so big for me. And what's taking my game to the next level is like never getting content or too high or too low. It's like, all right, I'm going to stay right here, even keeled, and just build off of it every single week. And that's how you put together a great season, is not, you know, riding the roller coaster. You just got to, you know, let the certain things, you know how you tick. You know, I know how I tick. You know how you tick. So like for me, I'm going to find that and use it for a positive.
That mentality has changed, bro. Even in the last, 5 years ago, you were a rookie to now, bro.
Yeah.
What was that, like 2 or 3 years ago when you were like, bro, like I'm getting all these pressures, but I'm like the sacks aren't where they're supposed to be. And we talked about it. You were like, bro, like, like how do I was like, bro, what do you, I was like, it all comes around, bro. Like, if you're getting pressures, that means you're getting closer. As long as I don't even remember the whole conversation. I was like, bro, as long as you're hunting, like eventually, if you keep stabbing at it, you're going to draw blood. You know
you're
what I'm saying?
Draw
like,
blood. No,
then you took off after that, bro. But like, does that competitive edge you have, that chip you will, does that also come from, not going to say a smaller school, but like you going in the, you know, middle of the draft, that fourth round draft pick? Is that an extra added mentality from like, I didn't come from nothing, but like they didn't respect me the way they were supposed to?
Yeah, you know, I've always felt like I've been slept on, and I feel like I've always had to go above and beyond to like prove my worth. I know it's a part of my journey, you know, like being, you know, I've been with the Raiders, you know, we've had, you know, 3 out of 4 years we haven't made the playoffs and it's been a struggle. Like I was a fourth round pick. I had one offer coming out of high school. Like I've always had to go above and beyond. and do what I do. But it's like, that's what makes me who I am. And like, I love it. I wouldn't change it for anything. And like, it is hard because I feel like, you know, I don't always have the greatest, you know, deck of cards, but at the end of the day, that's what makes me who I am, because I've always found a way. Like I'd never quit. Like no matter if I start something, I'm gonna finish it. And that's how I approach every single day. So like, I love when people doubt me. I love when they tell me, oh, he's not. Like even last year, like I thought I should have been an all pro. Like that, I thought about that all year. And like, you know, when you play at lineman and like you have a good game and they'll come out and be like, oh, he got locked up, he didn't get a sack, blah, 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 blah. And then they'll show two clips of you getting blocked and like you killed him the rest of the time. Like, bro, that shit sits in my mind. Like, I don't want anybody to have anything over me. So like, that's what it is for me, bro. It's every single day. Like, I'm just competitive as shit. Like, it doesn't matter if I'm playing 2K or if I'm hanging in the back talking with the guys. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't want anybody to have anything over me. And like, that's what pushes me every single day.
That's that one when you go against offensive linemen and you beating them outside, inside, through, and you're coming right there at the quarterback, bro. Like, I'm like, yeah. there was times this last two games, I'm just like literally feeling the lace on the ball as it's being launched. And I'm like, and they're like, oh, the tackle played good against you.
Yeah, bro. That's like,
alive, bro. You're like, bro, like it was me. Like I didn't get there, but yep. You know, that's on me. It's not him. He didn't stop me. 100%. Either whether it was a quick release, whatever it was, like. But do you think some of that is like instinct versus technique? Like, yo, like you, when you looking at your film for your spin move, that quarterback stepping up and you have a hand on a shoulder and he slips out of there. I know you've talked about stretch and flexibility, grip strength. Like, yeah. What do you think it is to finish in those plays?
I think it's a combination. You know, you got to have, like, I think that's, you know, the difference between a pressure. Like, you can get pressures, you know, they count hurries and, you know, pressure. They're all combined. So, like, yeah, if the ball's gone in 2 seconds and you're beating them in 1.5, like, you can't do anything about that, but you're winning the rush. Like, that's what it really comes down to. If you're winning a high percentage of rushes and you have natural football instincts and you're reading your keys, you're playing with pad level, you're working your shit that you work in practice, like, guys like me and you, like, bro, we've been Pro Bowlers. Like, we trust our moves and we know they're going to work if we trust them and do them the right way and our pad level is right and our eyes are right and our cell is right. Like, all that matters. So, like, for me going into the game, I'm trusting that process. Like, I'm going to break down the film. I'm going to see what I can do better from the week before. And, like, I'm going to start looking at my opponent. How can I beat this guy? How can I dissect him? And, like, for me, it's not just, like, you know, when you talk about, like, finishing, that's – finishing just, you know, every little detail matters. And, like, I talk about from practice to the weight room, like, the grip strength thing. Like, I do grip after every workout now. Like, I've done it for years now. Just because of that extra grab and like,
wait, which one do you do? Do you have like the hand machines or do you like, I do my grip strength where like I hold the 45 pound, what is it? 22 kilo weights. And I do that for time. Or then like I started a couple years ago, our D-line coach introduced like flipping these things. So now I'm like flipping and catching. And like, I'm like on a Thursday, I'm like flipping, catching these 45 pound weights. Just like in those weeks that you don't have, you'd be like, yeah. All right. Well, it's because I jammed my finger. I'm not building an excuse, but like, got to go just back to holds. What would be your favorite grip strength exercise, would you say?
Yeah, I would say my favorite. Like, we do a ton of different ones. Like, today we had like the fat grippers on, which are hard as hell. And you do it with kettlebells and like, you can't fully grip it and you're just shaking.
I don't know about this. What do you, wait, explain.
I'll send it to you, bro.
Send me a picture.
This is different. But honestly,
it's a kettlebell with what, like 35, 40 pounds?
No, you get like a 60 pound kettlebell. Okay. And you do like sessions. So you do like 30 seconds with it and then 20 seconds with a heavier weight. And then you do like towel holds. So you wrap it around the kettlebell and you hold with a towel and it's heavy. Like, bro, I got some shit for you. I'll send it to you. But bro, my guy,
I'm willing to learn. I like
bro,
new
I'm
tricks.
Telling you, Rick Slate, my guy in here in the train, he's one of my He's like the main guy who works out with me. He's my puts me through every workout. The dude
is you don't stop working out, bro.
He's an OG, bro. He's an OG and he gets it right. So
you're going through prison workouts, yard workouts.
What? He has me screaming, like cussing him out. I'm so mad. It hurts so bad, but it pays off in the end.
I'm not gonna lie, bro. Like, you surprised me. What was that? This past Pro Bowl when we were talking? Like, bro, I'm working out here every day still. Like, like there is no shutdown for me. In the offseason, is there a shutdown period? When do you recoup the bod? Like, for me, I have to, like, I got to get away, fam. Like, I disappear for, like, a month. Like, no working out, no running. Like, I got to eat, love my family, love me. When I'm in football season, I'm not necessarily, like, the greatest. I don't think I'm the greatest dad, husband, brother, anything. I'm like, yo, it's Thursday. So Thursday through Sunday, I'm locking the hell in. Like, I don't even like to do media by Wednesday-ish. Friday, like, don't ask me. Saturday, yeah. I am so locked in. I'm like, I got things I have to do on Sunday. I'm not a good person Sunday. I'm coming with bad intentions. When do you get away and become, you know, like Daddy Max? Baby girl, gotta love you.
Yeah, no, honestly, bro, like, this was after my third year and fourth year, like, or no, it was after my second year and third year. I would start after the Super Bowl. That's when I would start training. And this year, you know, we didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, I talked to my strength coach. I talked to my nutritionist, all this. And he was like, hey, we're going to start January 30th this year. And this is why. We're going to ease, you know, ease into the process. Boom, 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 boom. He broke it down to me. I, you know, I have a team of people that all, you know, collaborate and communicate here with the Raiders. So it was great. And I started January 30th.
You got your own team of people? Max.
Hey, I'm here by myself. You know what I mean? When you're here by yourself, you get everybody. You get all the resources. So, yeah, you know, we started January 30th. And I took like 2.5 weeks off and I was back rolling. But I was still meal prepping even after the season. And, like, I always want to stay in shape. And no matter what, I hate – there's nothing worse than going and eating like shit for 2 weeks and you have to drop weight. And then you're just wasting weeks of work and, you know, time you can improve by trying to cut weight and then get back into shape. So, like, for me, I want to be in shape all year round. So, like, that's how it is for me. It's really all year round.
Man, I said, that's what it takes, bro. Like, if that's what your vibe is, that's crazy work to me. Cause I'm like, yo, I got to get away. Like, I'm eating. No, I'm like that little fat kid, bro. I got to eat well, drink well, and come back. And I'm like,
The weekends I'm eating good in the off season. I will say that my Saturdays I'm getting my cheat meal. I'm getting Chipotle for lunch. I'm going to eat something for dinner. But, like, besides that, you know,
one day a week cheat. No. Off season, like a month, fam. Like, you know, you know this off season. I went to Spain for 2.5 months.
Oh yeah.
I start working out to that like last month and a half. That first month I was there, I needed all of it. You know, big abirica jamón, the big steaks. What? Chuletetes, cortones. I need all of it. I was like, yo, run that twice. My kids were looking at me like, daddy's fluffy. Yeah, he is.
Damn right I am.
I worked hard to be fluffy. And then I'm going to get back right. All right. Three quick questions. I'll get you out of here, bro. I said 25 minutes. You gone over 25 minutes. That's my fault.
You're good.
Hey, bro. What's your favorite cheat meal?
Favorite cheat meal?
Don't tell me you're a Chipotle guy. Come on.
I was going to say, that's just so easy for me to say it. But I'm going to say this. This is my prison. Like, if I was in prison, like, they're like, you have one meal left. I'm going chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes, cream corn, gravy, all that, like straight murder scene.
Hey, yeah. Favorite other edge rusher to watch?
Ooh, I'm going to say that's
there's a lot of them. That's what I'm saying. Take
Cam
Jordan and you.
I'm going to say TJ.
You're going TJ. Okay.
Yeah.
A little Watt. All right. And then, I'm not going to do this to you. Favorite teammate?
Favorite teammate? I got a lot. I love them all, but I'm gonna have to say Devontae. Devontae.
Okay. That was
no question. Devontae is my guy. That's like my brother.
Okay. Last question. Favorite tattoo, and you're done. Favorite tattoo you got? Because when I first met you, you had a little bit. Now you got the boy everything.
I'm gonna say my daughter. I got my daughter right here. So yeah. Just hold it down for Ella, no question.
Absolutely, appreciate you, bro. Hey, you a monster, bro. You becoming a legend of the game. Like, keep on pushing, keep on pressing. I appreciate you tapping in with me, bro. Yeah, we'll text later, bro. But I appreciate you for getting in.
Appreciate you, bro. You're a legend.
So there you have it. It's a wrap. I just want to say a huge thank you to all my awesome listeners for rocking with me. I've got a whole locker room full of my favorite interviews from season one coming your way. But before I go, you know the drill. Come on now. Make sure to drop us a 5-star rating or review and hit that follow button on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also catch us on YouTube on the official YouTube page of the NFL. Till next time, I'm out.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.